This is Ilui Nishmas, my father, Rav Menachem Nochem ben Rav Yitzchak, who he died 15 years ago. He was a a tremendous Talmid Chacham. When he was in yeshiva, when he was single, he was in yeshiva in Beis Medrash Elyon. It's a very prestigious yeshiva in Muncie. It's not really there anymore. And Reb Ruvain Gruzovsky, right? Chedushi Reb Ruvain, right? You remember Chedushi Reb Ruvain? Reb Ruvain Gruzovsky, who was Rosh Yeshiva then, he was Rosh Yeshiva of two yeshivas, Rosh Yeshiva of Tar Vadas and Beis Medrash Elyon. So he would go every week from Brooklyn, come up to Muncie for Shabbos, spend a few days there, and then go back to Brooklyn. When he would come on Thursday, he would start preparing a shiur that he wanted to give on Sunday, Reb Ruvain. Reb Ruvain was Reb Baruch Ber's son-in-law. Reb Baruch Ber Lieb was the Bircha Shmuel, he was the son-in-law. The tremendous, one of the Gedolei Olam, and he had given these shiurim before in Europe, back in Kamenetz. I think it was Kamenetz, right? He was in Kamenetz also, I think. Reb Ruvain. I think he was in Kamenetz. Anyway, so when he would come to Muncie, he would want to learn. He'd want to prepare with somebody. So he used to pair with my father. He took my father. My father was a bachur in yeshiva. And he said, come, we'll sit down. My father said, Reb Ruvain used to sit mamish for hours, after 8-9 hours. This is after he came up from Brooklyn. He would sit 8-9, he was an older man, 8-9 hours straight. My father was plotting. It was like 3-4 o'clock in the morning already. You know, and Reb Ruvain said, oh, okay, you're Americana, you're an American, you know, okay, we'll go to sleep soon, you know. But the point is, my father was a big time chacham, and it's a big schus that we could say a piece of Torah in his schus, the Ilui Nishmaso. Just one more point that about 50 years ago, my father and my mother, she should live and be well, moved here to Kew Gardens. First they lived on right off Metropolitan Avenue, then they bought a house around the corner. My mother's been living there now for, what did I say, 50 years ago? No, it's not 50 years ago. Excuse me, 65 years ago. 65, well, time flies when you're having fun. Anyway, the kids are, so at about, my father died 15 years ago. About 60 years ago, my father started giving a shiur in Teitelbaum Shul, right? You know Teitelbaum Shul on Metropolitan Avenue? In the shul over there, near the dorm. And he started giving an Amid Yomi. It was in 1966. And he gave it from 1966 till he died, 2011, for 45 years. 2 years, my parents moved to Florida for 2 years. And they came back, and he was Marbitz Torah here in Kew Gardens for 45 years, minus those 2 years. My brother, who just made the Siyum, when my father moved to Florida, my brother took over the shiur. So the shiur's still going till today. But he started in 1966. It should be a schus, Ilui Nishmaso. And there's one more point I wanted to bring out was, I have a picture here of his Kever, you know, and there's a line in there that I think, besides all the amazing things about my father, there was one thing that I personally try to aspire to. I try to aspire to all of it. But one of them is, you know, I don't know if the Sfarim do this, there's an Ashkenaz minhag to take the name of the person, you do it also, and to write out sentences from the name. So his name was Menachem Nachem, and on the tombstone you write a mem nun. They write each letter, and you write a sentence. I don't know if you do it. Anyway, no pictures. We don't put pictures. We have the app. No, we don't. Anyway, so the last line was Menachem Nachem. So it's a mem. We wrote the Melamed Mumcha. He's an expert teacher. Ubalmazbir Boro Vizaka. And he was a person who was a Balmazbir. Balmazbir means someone who can explain Torah, can explain complicated things, bara v'zaka, clear and correct and straight and something you can see clearly. My father was an expert at learning Torah and at taking complicated things and making them clear. So anytime it's not clear when I'm saying something, please remind me, please, I should be like more like my father. Halavai I am. Halavai. Okay. So is Rabbi Kramer here? Bruce Kramer, he wanted to be. Oh, the guy's here? Oh. Oh. I didn't see a camera. I recognize you. No, okay. All right. Huh? Yeah. On the Bikshu, right. He expanded to the Bikshu, exactly, right. Expanded that Yomitim. Okay. So, this, which I'm about to present, I don't take credit for it, or discredit, whichever one you will decide, because really, we did this sugya in Shir. Besides jokes and stuff we do in that room, we also actually learn a little bit. And we did this sugya in Shir, and I must honestly say that it was a contribution of everyone's contribution that I think we brought out this beautiful pshat. I think it's a beautiful pshat in Rashi, explains a very difficult Rashi, and we all either could take credit or discredit, whichever one you like. All right. So the Mishnah, we're going to start from the middle of the Mishnah, right? Tezvavah Mebez. The Mishnah says, Umoda Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua admits, but Omer lechaveiro, if a person tells his friend, Reuven tells his friend Shimon, he says, Sada zu shel avicha haisa. You see this land that I am living on? This land used to belong to your father. Ulekachtia himena. I purchased it from your father. Okay, so we have Reuven and Shimon the son. Shimon the son, it was his father's. Typically, if a father dies and he has a piece of land, the son should get it. He should be the inheritor. So really, Reuven is telling Shimon the son, this land really could have been yours. It started out by your father. It could have been yours. However, I bought it before him. Before he died, I bought it. So the Mishnah says, Shehu Neman, he is believed. His claim is a good claim. Reuven has a good claim. Why? Shapesha asa hu hapesha hitir. Because the mouth that made it forbidden is the mouth that made it permitted. What does that mean? That means that I'm Reuven, I am the one who told you about this. You had no clue. If that's the case, I am the one who's telling you it's permitted to me. We're going to delve into this a lot more. That's just a simple translation. It says the Mishnah, Vim yesh edim shehu shel aviv. However, if there were edim, there were witnesses that it belonged to Shimon's father, for who Omer lekachti himena, and then Reuven steps up and says, yes, I agree with the edim. However, I bought it from Shimon's father. Eino Neman, he does not have a winning claim. His claim fails. It doesn't work. When there's edim, it doesn't work. Now, even though, if you think about it for a moment, he's not really disputing the edim. The edim are saying, at one time belonged to Shimon's father. So Reuven said, yeah, I agree. At one time belonged to Shimon's father. However, I bought it from him. So the halacha is, his claim fails. He doesn't have this pesha asa device, as we'll talk about this more, exactly how that works. But he doesn't have the pesha asa. Without the benefit of the pesha asa, his claim loses. He fails. Why? Because we have edim. Edim say, this field belonged to Shimon's father. And there's a halacha that we call the Cheskas Mari Kama. It's established that he was the previous owner. Until we can prove that it changed from that previous owner, we assume it belongs still to the previous owner. So if Shimon's father died, now it belongs to Shimon. Shimon's the inheritor. So this guy who's saying, I bought it, we say, that's very nice. That's a nice story. Can you prove it? What do you mean? I'm claiming that. That's very nice. You're claiming that, but show me a proof. Until you can bring a proof, you fail. Your argument fails. You don't have the benefit of the Pesha Asa because there were Edom. We're going to discuss exactly and analyze why exactly what's going on. Let's just go jump into the Gemara for a minute. The Gemara says, it's the Gemara Hanose Seisha v'lomotzlo besulim. You see, we're jumping down. Basically, the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara's kasha is, the Mishnah says, Umode Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua admits. Says the Gemara, he's admitting? That means somewhere he's arguing. Here, he's admitting. Well, where did he argue? He must have argued somewhere. The Mishnah doesn't just say, I admit to this. What do you mean, I admit? I say this, I have to admit. I'm admitting to someone who I'm disagreeing with. In some situation, I disagree with you. And here, I'm agreeing to you. Where is that? Says the Gemara, it's the case, I notice that the Isha will a matzalah basulim. A man married a woman, right, from the end of the first parak. He did not find, a man married a woman, and he found out she wasn't a virgin. First night, they lived together, she's not a virgin. So he brings her to court. He says, hey, what's going on? He omeres mishir steiner nasti. She says, you're right, I'm not a virgin. I was not a virgin. I got raped 10 months ago. Right? Now we know marriage is a 12-month ordeal until you get married, right? The Kiddushin happens 12 months ago, and then they had the chuppah now. That's what they used to do in the good old days. So she says, after we got married, meaning after the Erusin, after the Kiddushin, I got raped. So therefore, it's your problem, because I was already married to you. When I came into the marriage, I was a virgin. Now, I got raped. The Nistakwa Sadeu, your field got destroyed. For who Omer? He says, lo, Kiel Achelo Arastich. I don't think so. I think it happened before. I suspect it happened before we got married. So in that case, Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Omrim Nemenes. Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Loza say she is believed. Her claim wins. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, let me tell you another claim. And Rabbi Yeshua says, we do not believe her. She doesn't win. What's the argument? As the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, they say, hey, this lady, she has what we call a migu. She says it happened, I was raped after we got married, 12 months ago, 10 months ago, whatever it was. Now, Rabbi Gamliel says, look, this lady's telling us the truth. How do you know she's telling us the truth? Well, because she could have said, I had an accident, I fell. And you can lose your virginity by falling also sometimes. And if she would have said that, she would have been in a better place. Because then, in the future, if she ever her husband died, or they're going to, right, let's say he dies, she would be able to marry a Kohen. But now that she said she was raped, a person who was raped can't marry a Kohen. So she put herself in a worse position. She didn't have to do that. She could have said, Mukas Eitzani, it happened in his accident. Says Rabbi Gamliel, ooh, that's called a migu. Believe her on what she claims, that it happened, a rape, after the Kedushin, after the Erusin. Because if she wanted to, she could have said, Mukas Eitzani, it happened as an accident. And that would have been a better claim because she looks better. It makes her look better. It gives her a better lasting effect. So therefore, she's believed. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Lo mipi anuchai, I do not believe migus. You're right, migu's nice. Sounds good. I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Fine. The Gemara continues. I'm skipping a little bit. The Gemara says, Michdi, let's see. I'm about 8 lines from the bottom of the Gemara. 7 lines. Michdi, let's see. Hai migu v'hai migu. This is a migu, and this is a migu. Meaning, Rabbi Yehoshua, you're telling us here in this Mishnah that when it comes to the Pesha Asa, we say that's a winning claim. Pesha Asa. However, the case of the migu by the Mishnah Stein and Nasti, by the woman with the losing virginity, there, you don't believe her. She doesn't have a winning claim. What's the difference? In both situations, she's presenting some argument, or she's presenting an argument by the case of the virginity, and he's presenting an argument in the case of the field. In both of those cases, they're presenting an argument, and they could have said something else. Over there, she could have said, Mukasetani. Over here, he could have said nothing. He didn't have to say anything. So in both cases, we should have some kind of, it should work. It should be a winning claim. Why isn't it winning? What's the difference between the two? Says the Gemara, and we're going to go into all these issues. The Gemara answers, there's a big difference. Hacha, over here, in our case, by the case of the field, Ein shar shachet lefunecha. That's just a saying. What it means is, there's nothing compelling him to come and say anything. He's sitting on his field. He's sitting pretty. I'm going about my business. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to volunteer anything. I'm coming along. I'm volunteering something. Volunteering, Rabbi Yeshua said, oh, that's impressive. He's volunteering. Okay, that's a winning claim. But the case with a woman, she's not sitting pretty and volunteering anything. He's coming at her with a claim. Hey, hello, you don't have me, you're not a virgin. Answer this question, answer it. Not only that, the Gemara says he has proof. He brings proof to court. Right? They had a mappa, they had a shmata, they put a sheet on the bottom. Oh, look, there's no blood here. She wasn't a virgin. So if that's the case, she needs to respond. Oh, says Rabbi Yeshua, in a situation where you need to respond, there I don't believe it. There it's not a winning claim. But if you're volunteering, that's a winning claim. That's the Gemara says. Okay, fine. Now, this distinction between a Pesha Asa, right, our case in the Mishnah, and a Migu is a big discussion amongst many, many, many Shonim, Achronim, and Rashi Yeshiva. The Rashi Yeshiva have a Chakira. They have a basic Shaila. How does this work? What exactly is the reason why Rabbi Yehoshua says it works? I know the Gemara says Shar Shachar Lufanecha or Ain Shar Shachar Lufanecha, but she was wanting to dig in a little deeper. Like, what's going on behind the scenes here? Now, we saw this brought down in Rabbi Chanan. I think we might have been mechabim to it. So Rabbi Chanan basically brings down, he says like this. Some say that when someone has a Pesha Asa, meaning he volunteered the information, he's sitting pretty on his field, he comes along at the court and says, hey, guess what, guys? This field belonged to Shimon's father. Okay, that's cool. He volunteered. In that situation, Rabbi Yehoshua would say, you know what? Here, he has a proof that he's telling us the truth. We can determine that he's not a liar. How do you determine he's telling us the truth? Because, look, the guy didn't have to do this. The guy didn't have to say anything. He could have stayed home. And the fact that he didn't stay home and he came and volunteered this information, that's a proof that he's saying the truth. That's the one. This is Chakir means there's two sides to this issue. This is called what we call nemanut. He's believed. There's a believability. There's nemanus. We see he's saying the truth. We can determine he's not lying. Because why? Because why'd you volunteer? Some people learn slightly different. Some people say, no. Rabbi Yehoshua would say, you can't determine he's telling the truth. I don't buy that. I don't believe in that. So how come Pesha also works? Totally different svara. Totally different logic. Which is, like Rabbi Chanan says, He calls it a din achrino. It's a different din. What's the different din? The different din is what we call creator. What does that mean, creator? Look, make believe I'm moving. I was on the field. I'm doing my business. No one's bothering me. I come along and say, hey, Bezdin, by the way, this field once, many, many years ago, belonged to Shimon's father. Now, that would make it forbidden to me because, oh, you're not the owner. Really? It's not you? It belongs to Shimon's father? Better give it to him. Give it to Shimon. No, not so fast. It was Shimon's father, but I got it from Shimon. I bought it from Shimon's father. So therefore, says this line of reasoning, I, Reuven, created this problem. I'm the one who created the problem. The only reason why it was even a question is because I said something. If I'm the one who's creating the problem, I have the ability to decide how far-reaching is this problem. It's not a problem. No one knows that. I'm going about my merry way for the next 100 years. No one's going to know the difference. But I brought up the problem. If I create a problem, I have the ability to tell you how far does that problem go. What are the ramifications of that problem? What are the consequences of that problem? So this chakira, like I said, it's a chakira in Rashi Yeshiva. If you look at Rashi on the top, Shapesha Asa, I'm going down with South Rashi. Shapesha Asa, Rashi is going on the Mishnah, telling us what Pesha Asa is. Rashi says, Zeh, Eino Yodeya Shehoisa Shel Aviv. Shimon the son, he does not know that it ever belonged to his father. He's clueless. And the Gemara says in many places that children very often have no idea of their father's businesses. They don't know what's going on. I'm not sure it's true in the Bukharian world, but whatever. In a lot of the world, fathers don't want their sons to know anything about what's going on in the business, right? Some people have that, I guess. But anyway, says Rashi, Ze en yodei shayis shel aviv, this Shimon the son, he didn't know anything to do with this field that belonged to his father. Ella al piv shel ze. The only way he was introduced to this idea that it once was his father's was only by the mouth of Reuven, this guy. Oh, says Rashi, Masha Osar Hare Hittir. What he, Reuven, made forbidden, he made permitted. So now, we pointed this out in Shir. It sounds like Rashi is learning what we call the creator approach. This is not, we're not saying that we know Reuven is telling us the truth. What we're saying is, says Rashi, he's the one who made the Isser. Well, if he made the Isser, he created the Isser, then he has the ability to tell us how far-reaching is that Isser. What are the consequences of that Isser? This observation that we made, Baruch Hashem, we found Rav Nachum makes the same observation. Rav Nachum, the Sefer came out, at least to us, in the middle while we were doing the sugya, right? I think it was like Mamish in the middle. We got the Sefer, and we cut off the press, we opened it up, Baruch Hashem, Mamish, we machabed what he said. Fine. Now we're saying that Rashi holds. So again, we have two approaches. Nemanut, either we say he's saying he's believed, or the reason why a Pesha Asa works is because it's creator. Right? He's a creator. What does Rashi hold? Rashi holds creator. That's what we're saying now. Because Rashi says, Masha Asa Arehitim. Now we ask a question. Very nice. A very nice Chakira. A very nice pshat, sounds wonderful, Rabbi. What difference does it make? Who cares? It works. Pesha Asa, the Mishnah says it works, right? Mishnah says Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. Winning claim, okay? Winning claim. I want to know, what's the reason for the winning claim? Well, I'll tell you, because it's Nemanos, it's believable. We can determine he's telling us the truth, meaning even Rabbi Hoshua would agree in this situation because he volunteered. Or we could say the reason is because he's creator, he created it. Okay, who cares? What difference does it make? There happens to be this question about what difference does it make. There's many, many explanations in Pirushim that come up with nafkaminas, differences in halacha between these two ways. From what I saw, the one we're about to suggest right now, I didn't see it anywhere. We made this up. I think it works. I think. We'll see. And if it doesn't work, like I said, you blame the guys. We wanted to say the following. We wanted to say, a nafkamina would be, we said in the Mishnah that if the Edom came and the Edom said, Shel Aviv Haya, this belonged to Shimon's father, the Mishnah says, now the Pesha Asa doesn't work. The Pesha Asa of Reuven's Pesha Asa, this device, this mechanism that's giving him a good claim, will not work. It'll fail. Why? Because Edom came. So we had a Shiloh. When did the Edom come? Did the Edom come to court before Reuven opened his mouth? Or after Reuven opened his mouth? Now, so we wanted to say that this point of the distinction about this halacha, about when the Edom came will create a fail in this Pesha Asa, it would hinge on how you understand Pesha Asa. If you understand Pesha Asa, like we said, that it means it's a determination that he's telling us the truth. And even Rabbi Yehoshua, who says, Migu, I don't like Migu. But Pesha Asa is a higher level determination because the guy's volunteering. Oh, he's such a tzaddik, he's a volunteer. Oh, we for sure believe him. He's telling us the truth. Nemanut. If that's the case, that is Nemanus. Now what happens if after he comes to court, he walks into court, he volunteers. He says, Rabbi Sayyid, you should just know, this field that I'm living on for the last 50 years, one time belonged to Shimon's father, and I bought it from him. Oh, very nice. We have a Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter, says the Mishnah. What does that mean? Well, according to one side of the question, it means he has Nemanos. He's believability. We determined he's not lying. He's telling us the truth. Beautiful. What do? Give it to Reuven. It's his. 3 weeks later, a nice Thursday afternoon, two Edom walk into court. They say, you should just know, that piece of field, that piece of land that Reuven is living on for the last 50 years, it once belonged to Shimon's father. Okay, so now what? The Edom says, listen, I don't know, you take this information, do whatever you want with it. Well, what do you mean? Reuven said he bought it from Shimon's father. Well, the Edom say, well, I don't know. You guys are the Dayanim, you're the judges. I just noticed there's such a thing called a Chesed Marikama, meaning if I establish it that it belongs to Shimon's father, and we have no proof otherwise, it should still belong to Shimon's father, and Shimon died, so it belongs to his son. I'm sorry, Shimon's father died, so it belongs to Shimon. So if the explanation of Pesha Asar is Nemanut, that we believe him, that he was telling us the truth, who cares if they come in later? We can turn to those Edom and say, very nice, thank you very much, you told us a very nice piece of information, but we knew about it already. Not only do we know about it, we also know that Reuven bought it from him. But what do you mean? But this Edom here, so what? When he came into court, we decided that he's telling us the truth. Had you decided he's telling us the truth? He had a Pesha Asar, Pesha Edom. Pesha Asar, Pesha Edom, it's a Mishnah Ksubas. The halacha is, if you have a Pesha Asar, Pesha Edom, you believe to be telling us the truth. Oh, we believe to be telling the truth. Edom, thank you very much for your contribution. Have a good day. We'll tell him, believe. And the halacha of the Mishnah would mean, the Mishnah says, when Edom come, it makes the Pesha Asar fail. That's only if they came first. If they walked into court before Reuven ever stepped foot into court, and they say, you should just know, Reuven's been living on that land for the last many years. Guess what? It once was owned by Shimon's father. I don't know. You do what you want with it. Then Bessie says, ooh, it was owned by Shimon's father. What's Reuven doing there? Go bring Reuven into court. Bring him into court. Reuven, what are you doing? I bought it from him. You have any proof? Oh, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. Sorry, Jolly. Out of here. Move out. We'll send the vans. Pack them out of here right now. Why? Because you didn't prove anything. But I have a Pesha Asar. You don't have no Pesha Asar. Because the Pesha Asar only means that we can determine you said the truth, but we can't determine that because you're not volunteering. We brought you into court to respond to the Edom. Oh, that's the case. The Mishnah says it doesn't work. So in other words, if the understanding of Pesha Asar was Nemanos, was believability, it would make a big difference when the Edom came. Halacha of the Mishnah, it says the Edom come. It's not clear from the Mishnah what they're talking about, right? The Mishnah doesn't say they came first, they came second, it doesn't say anything. But the halacha would have to be, it's only if they came first that we ruin the Pesha Asar. If they came second, and we already have determined 3 weeks ago that Reuven was telling us the truth, that's it, he wins. We determined yesterday, 3 weeks ago, he was telling us the truth. That's if we learn Nemanos. But if you learn Pesha Asar means that he's the creator, if I ask you once he's the creator, is he telling us the truth? I'm not sure, I don't know, but I know one thing. He's the one who told us anything. I didn't know anything about Shimon's father. Reuven's been living on this land for many years. He comes into court and he says, rabbis, you should just know this was owned by Shimon's father. Okay, thank you very much. If we're in the world of creator, if we're in the world that the reason why a Pesha Asar works is because of creator, not because of Nemanut, then we say to him, hey, listen, one judge will ask the other, hey, does anybody know about this? Anybody hear about this before? Well, I never heard about it. We never heard about this. Okay, so he's the one who's creating the problem. He came in, volunteered, created the problem. Well, if he created the problem, we give him the right to tell us how far that problem goes. Tell us what the reach of that problem is, what the consequences of that problem. And he's telling us that in regards to him, it doesn't matter because he bought it from Shimon's father. Okay, sounds good. Same thing happens. 3 weeks later, Edom walk in, and Edom say, hey, Bezdin, you should just know, that piece of property was once owned by Shimon's father. Okay. 1 second. 3 weeks ago, Reuven came in, he told us the same piece of information, and we gave it to him because we said he's the creator of this problem, and he can tell us the ramifications of the creation of this issur. So Dayan sits there in the court and says, yeah, that's true. But now we have Edom that are creating a problem. Oh, we have Edom creating a problem. If you have Edom creating a problem, then we have to have proof. Well, what did he say? He was the creator. Isn't that proof? That's not proof. That just is a rule. It's a din that he's the creator. We give him the ability to tell us the limitations of that creation. But now that we have Edom that walked in, and they changed the whole dynamics. They created a new Isser. Not a new Isser, but they're formulating the same thing. They say, no, we know it belonged to Shimon's father. Oh, now we have a new creation. Not his creation anymore. Bring Reuven back. Reuven, what did you do on the land? Oh, I told you 3 weeks ago, I bought it from Shimon's father. You did, huh? You have any proof? I need proof? I'm the one who created this problem. Don't you remember 3 weeks ago? That was 3 weeks ago. But today, you guys have another problem. The other problem is we have Edom that say it. Oh, you have Edom that say it. Now you got a problem. Because now that creates a Morikama. The Edom created a Cheskes Morikama. It's established that it was a fact that it belonged to Shimon's father. Now you need proof. But I was the creator. You were the creator. You're no longer the creator. So now it comes out, according to what we're saying, that the halacha in the Mishnah would change. When it says in the Mishnah of Edom come, the Pesha Asa fails, according to this way of reading, creator, if you'll understand the Pesha Asa to be a power of creator, then it would not make any difference when the Edom came. If the Edom came before Reuven walked into court, or even if they came in after Reuven walked into court, it makes no difference. Because now we're dealing with a different, much bigger issue. It's not just what you created. The Edom did it. If the Edom did it, you're done. So it come out, Machlokas and Halacha. What's the Halacha if Edom come after Reuven had a Pesha Asa? Like I said, from the Mishnah, it's not clear. The Mishnah just says, oh, Edom came. When did Edom come? That Halacha is a Machlokas between the Baal HaShlomo and the Meiri, two Rishonim. If you want, we can look at it for a moment. If you see it there, it's somewhere in there. It's on Rab Nachum. There's a number Hey. It says the Im Yesh Edim Shishal Abi Vuhom Lekachti and Menor Einon Emon. He brings down the Machlokas is like this. The Baal HaShlomo. I'll do the Baal HaShlomo first. The Baal HaShlomo says that if Edim come, it's only if they come first. If Edim come first, that's what the Mishnah is saying. That's what ruins the Pesha Asa. If Edom comes second, says the Baal HaShlomo, it does not ruin the Pesha Asa. The Meiri, he says the other way around. He says, no. It makes no difference when the Edom came. Edom came first, Edom came second. Either way, destroys the Pesha Asa. So we wanted to say that this is the Machlokas. The Machlokas between the Baal HaShlomo and the Meiri is, how do you understand the mechanism of Pesha Asa? If Pesha Asa is Nemanut, we believe you, okay, if we believe you, it makes no difference. It'll make a difference when they came. That's what the Baal HaShlomo holds. It'll only be if the Edom came first that we never granted you that believability. We never determined that you were saying the truth because we knew about this before. You didn't volunteer anything. But if the Edom comes second, then it wouldn't ruin the Pesha Asa because we already determined that he was telling us the truth. And the Edom that came second, they don't change that. He's telling us the truth. So therefore, the halacha would be, if the Edom came second, we would not have a problem of the Pesha Asa would still win. That's Pshat the Baal HaShlomo. The Meiri, who says, it makes no difference when the Edom came, the Meiri holds, you know why? Because the reason for Pesha Asa is creator. The reason why we believe Reuven is because he created this problem. He's the one who brought up the issue. Well, if he created it, he's the one who can tell us how far it reaches. That's all till Edom walk in. But if Edom walk in, even if they walk in after, we have a different issue now. The Edom determined that it belonged to Shimon's father. Oh, the Edom determined. You don't own that. You, Reuven, you're not the creator of that issue. If that's the case, you would fail your Pesha also. So if you just take what we just said and just take it one more step, it comes out that what we're saying when we read Rashi, we're reading Rashi to mean that when the Mishnah says that Edom came, when did they come? Rashi would say, it makes no difference. They came first, they came second, either way, Pesha Asa fails. Why? Because we just proved it. Because Rashi holds creator, that's the explanation for Pesha Asa, and if you hold creator doesn't make a difference. If they came second, they also created something against my creation. If they came first, they didn't allow me to make the creation in the first place. Either way, a Pesha Asa fails. Sound good so far? So all of this was all an introduction to the shiur. Now, let's get busy. All right, you ready? Here we go. When I need my introduction, I'm half kidding, but not totally kidding. Because what we just did was, we nailed Rashi to one opinion in this halacha. Machlokas between the Bala Hashlama and the Me'iri. Rashi doesn't tell us what he holds. But we, by delving into Rashi, we figured out what Rashi holds. Rashi has to hold like the Me'iri. He has to hold its creator. And if that's the case, he holds his creator. If he holds his creator, it must be, it makes no difference when the Eidim come. Either way, we just changed the halacha in the Mishnah. I mean, we did a dramatic thing. I hope we're right. I'm pretty sure we're right. I hope we're right. Anyway, now that we've established that Rashi holds that creator, and Rashi also holds that makes no difference when the Eidim come, either way, it makes the Pesha also fail. Now we have three questions. The whole shiur is now, we just laid the groundwork. The whole shiur is going to be, we have three questions on this approach in Rashi. And we want to answer these three questions. And we should be out of here by 2 o'clock, I'm sure. No. Okay. All right. So what are the three questions? Question number one is, see, Rashi over here, like I just read to you, says, Umasha Asar Hare Hitir, right? That was the Rashi that we sat on, and we decided that Rashi sounds like he's talking about creator. He says, what Reuven made Asar, Reuven made Mutter. That sounds like the creation explanation. The problem is, you go down the Gemara, all the way down about 14 lines from the bottom of Rashi, Rashi says Hacha. See the Rashi, Dibre Maskel Hacha? Excuse me. That's where the Gemara is making the distinction between the case of a regular migru and the case of a pesha also. How come Rabbi Yeshua says there's a difference? Here Rashi says, Hacha gabe sada, in our case, by the field, ein shar shakal lufanecha. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute, what that means. Oh, we mentioned that. Ein shar shakal lufanecha. There's no compelling reason for him to come. He's volunteering. He volunteered. No one got him to come, right? He was sitting there pretty on his land. No one was bothering him. As opposed to the case with the woman with her virginity. That there should be any entering into the heart of the owner, litvoa mi shachto, to ask any questions. Kolomar, what does that mean? Im shasak zeh, thank you very much. Im shasak zeh, if this guy would be quiet, meaning Reuven, if Reuven would have been quiet, lohoya lo orim, there would be no one would start up with him. No one's giving him any problems. No one's disputing him. He's sitting there nicely. Hilkach, therefore, now listen, this is the crucial sentence, Rabbi Zai. Hilkach says Rashi, therefore, ilav the dove of Pashid who, if it wouldn't have been simple to him, shalakha he meant it, that he bought it from him, lohoya omer lo shalavicha isa. He never would have said that it belonged, he never would have told Shimon, the son, that it belonged to your father. Hilkach amir amigo, therefore we say amigo. What does that mean? To us, when we read this Rashi, it seems to sound like we're trying to determine, is he saying the truth or not? Is he being honest or is he not being honest? He comes along and says, oh, this field belonged to your father, Shimon, and I bought it from him. Says Rashi, well, if it wouldn't be clear to him that it belonged to the father, he never would have said something. So it must be what? Therefore what? Therefore we believe him? We're not talking about being believed. We're talking about creator here. There's nothing to do with believability. I mean, obviously we wouldn't take a liar, but that's not the issue. Rashi should say very simple. Over here by our Mishnah, he's the creator. Over there in the case of the virginity, she didn't create the problem. The problem came to her, right? She needed to respond. She didn't volunteer. She didn't make the problem. So the difference between Rabbi Yeshua would say, if the person is the creator of the Isser, then he is believed, not believed, then his claim is a winning claim that he can say, yeah, this is how far it goes. You know how far the Isser goes? It goes, doesn't include me. I bought it from him. But over here, by the case of the Migu, by the Basulim of the woman, there we're questioning her believability. Is she Nemon? Is she telling us the truth? Is she lying? Rabbi Yeshua said, listen, I don't know about these games. I don't believe in this stuff. You're trying to tell me she's telling the truth. They're all liars. She's lying. I don't believe them. It's a totally different issue. Rashi seems to be addressing why we believe him. It seems like, I'm scared to say, but it seems like Rashi is veering off into the world of nemanut, of believability. And that, if that's true, that sounds like a contradiction to what Rashi is saying in the Mishnah. So that was question number one we had. I happen to think that was our first question, even before we saw Tosfos. Question number one is, there's a contradiction from one Rashi to the next Rashi, to the bottom Rashi. On the top, Rashi seems to say the Havana, the mechanism of why Pesha also works and how it works is because Creator, I'm the Creator, I am believed how far the creation goes, how far that issue goes. That's Rashi in the beginning, he says, Umasha Asa Hare Hinta, those are his words. And Rabbi Nachum agreed with us. Rabbi Nachum said the same thing. On the bottom, Rashi seems to say, well, we want to determine if he's telling us the truth. What? Who cares? That's not the issue. We're not issuing, but we're not discussing about is he a liar or not a liar. We have one issue is, did he create it? Did he not create it? That's all. So Rashi seems to be saying that monos. Sounds like a steer or contradiction in Rashi. That was question number one. Question number two, excuse me, which is a very simple question. Let's go back into the Gemara for a minute. The Gemara says, I'm now about 7 lines from the bottom of the Gemara. After the Gemara told us what Rabbi Yehoshua was admitting to, Rabbi Yehoshua says, I argue with you guys, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, in the case of the virginity. But in the case of the field, I agree that Pesha also works. Right? That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara then asks, Michti, I don't understand, says the Gemara. Hai Migu, Hai Migu. This is a Migu, and this is a Migu. They're both Migus. So what's the difference? Why do you make, what's the distinction that you're making, Rabbi Yehoshua? I don't get it. This question, according to what we're learning, Rashi, doesn't really work so well. What do you mean, what's the distinction? I just told you what the distinction is. The Mishnah, in the Mishnah, Rashi says clearly, Umasha Asa Hare Hitra. That which he made forbidden, he made permitted. He's the owner of this. He created it. He gets the ability to tell us how far it goes. The Gemara says, oh yeah, how come over there by the virginity case, he doesn't believe the lady? What part about not believing don't you get? I don't trust people, says Rabbi Yehoshua. I don't believe that Migu means anything. But she's telling us the truth. She could have said something else. I don't care. I don't buy it. I don't buy Nemanus. So how come over here, my Pesha, is a different world? Over here, I'm talking about his creator. So the problem is, if you learn creator, so we have two problems about learning creator and Rashi. If you learn creator in the first Rashi, which it sounds like he's saying, the second, the bottom Rashi doesn't sound like he's saying that. It sounds like a contradiction. And furthermore, what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha doesn't sound like it makes any sense. What's the difference between two Migus? A big difference. That's created, that's Nemanus. Okay. The third question is a little bit trickier, but you guys have been hanging on till now. I'm sure this is very smooth, very easy. Third question is like this. It has to do with the Tosfos. I won't read the Tosfos, I'll tell it to the outside. Tosfos, which I'm sure some of you saw, Tosfos has a kasha on Rashi. Tosfos points out, Tosfos brings in another factor, which we never discussed. The other factor is, you know, we know Reuven walked into court, and Reuven said, hey, Bezdin, you see this sada in the Cedars field? It belonged to Shimon's father. I bought it from him. Okay, that's the story. Tosfos is questioning, what does Shimon have to say about this? The Mishnah says, Adam come, very nice. What about Shimon? Hello, Shimon, step up. Have anything to say about it? Did you know? Did you not know? What's going on? Rashi points out that he didn't know. Tosfos says, what's his story? Tosfos points out from Rashi, it's not clear which Rashi, even though I think someone showed it to me, Eitan, maybe, showed me a Rashi of Dr. Zion in the base, right? He showed me a Rashi over there. So Rashi later on, it seems to say this straight up. Like I said, I blame everybody here for this shit. Like, we're all in this together, guys. You pull me down, we're going down together. Anyway, so Rashi says that if Shimon would make a claim and come into court and say, Rabbis, that field belonged to my father. If that would be the case, Rashi seems to say this whole Pesha Asa crumbles. It doesn't work. There's no Pesha Asa. That's what Rashi seems to say. Right? Rashi says it. So Tosa says, Rashi, I can prove you wrong. Why? Because the Mishnah says, the man has a Pesha Asa unless Edom come. If Edom come, the Peshasa fails. Okay? Now we have our whole conversation, you know, we're very sophisticated. When did Edom come? Did they come first? Did they come second? Okay, it's a simple conversation. Very nice. But says Tosfos, I can make a very simple diuk from this Mishnah. The diuk, I can make an inference from this Mishnah, says Tosfos. The Mishnah says the man has a Peshasa unless Edom come. Okay? What happens if Edom don't come? Sounds like he has a Peshasa. What happens if Edom don't come, but Shimon makes a claim? Aha, says Tosfos. It sounds like from the Mishnah, the Peshasa would still work. Because the Mishnah says in order to make the Peshasa fail, you have to have the Edom coming. That means anything less than witnesses coming, the guy himself claiming, it would not make it fail. Rashi, you're wrong. Because Rashi says, if Shimon, the son, comes and makes a claim, the Peshasa fails. That's Tosfos' kasha. He has another kasha. Basically, Tosfos says Rashi's wrong. He changes the whole Gemara. This has ramifications, Rabbosai, throughout all the books of Shas. Everywhere Peshasa comes up, it's all over the place. And this machlokas Rashi Tosfos is fine. We had one simple question. And Baruch Hashem, we found later, Rav Nachum asks the same question. He says it's a teretz, but really it's the same thing, it's a kasha. We have one kasha on Tosfos. Tosfos, what are you talking about? What does the Mishnah say? Well, the Mishnah says, you have a Pesha Asar, and it's a winning claim. Unless Edom come, then it fails. Okay, what's the problem? Well, Tosfos says, yeah, but according to Rashi, you can make a deal. Well, if Edom don't come, but Shimon the son makes a claim, Rashi would say, the Pesha Asar still fails. The Mishnah, we can make a deal that seems to say that it wouldn't fail. Because the only way to make it fail with something from the other side is if Edom came. Edom didn't come. Shimon came. So Rashi, you're wrong. So we say, well, one second. When did Edom come? Remember that little niggly question we asked a few minutes ago? When did Edom come? Did they come before or did they come after? Well, Rashi, we know, we just proved from our reading of Rashi, that Rashi agrees to the Meiri, that the halacha in the Mishnah is talking about if they came before or after. Right? If you're learning creator, we said creator means even if you come after, you still fail. The Peshasa still fails because your creation is irrelevant right now because we have an Edom that created it. It's a much stronger, much bigger issue. Forget about your little creation. I don't care about your creation. Well, if that's the case, we said to Tosfos. So what's your problem, Tosfos? The Mishnah, you're asking a question. You're saying, basically, Tosfos is asking Rashi, you know, according to you, Rashi, the Mishnah shouldn't have said, if Edom come. The Mishnah should have said, if Shimon the son makes a claim. Because you, Rashi, say that if Shimon the son makes a claim, that makes the Peshasa fail, right? So we say to Tosfos, what? That's not a kasha. You know why? I'll tell you why the Mishnah said Edom. Because the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Edom came second. Not first. Even second. Oh, the Mishnah came even second. Let me ask you a question. I'll ask Tosfos a question. Let me ask you some Tosfos. If Shimon the son came second with his claim, does he have anything to talk about? The guy comes along, he's the creator. Reuven came, he made a creation. He said, this is Asur, except this is how far the Issa goes. So I made an Asur, I can make a Mutter. 3 weeks later, knock on the door, Bezin. Okay, let the man, who's going to come in? Shimon the son! Oh, Shalom Aleichem, sit down, how are you? Shimon says, hey guys, you know that land that Reuven's been sitting on for the last 25 years? It was my father's land. Sounds good. We know that. Reuven himself told us that. Yeah, but who said that Reuven bought it from my father? Let him prove it. We'd say, what do you mean? He's the creator. He created this Israel. If he created this Issa, we know, right? Rashi's role, like the Miri. If he created this Issa, he's allowed to create the Hatter. He's allowed to say it belongs to him. That's the halacha. But. Shimon says, but. So we say, listen, do you have any proof? You have any proof they didn't buy it? I got no proof. Sorry, Charlie. Have a good day. In other words, when Rashi says that Shimon the son comes and makes a claim, it makes the Pesha Asa fail, that's only if he came first. Because coming first, if a guy walks into court and says, Shimon walks into court and says, hey, Rabbi, did There's a guy on my land. Who's on your land? Reuven, you look at him, look at him, he's on my land. That's your land? He says, yeah, it belongs to my father died, now it belongs to me. Get him off. We pull Reuven in. Reuven, psst, come in. Reuven, what's going on? Oh, I bought it from Shimon's father. You have proof? I don't have any proof. Get out of the land. What do you mean I have a Pesha Asa? You do not have a Pesha Asa. Because he came in first. You didn't volunteer. If you volunteer, then you win. And you have a winning claim. But you didn't volunteer because Shimon came first. But what would happen if Shimon came second? If Shimon comes second, Rashi would say, Shimon comes second? Throw Shimon out the door. Of course Reuven wins. What do you mean? He's making a claim. No, you didn't understand what I meant. We're defending Rashi from Tosfos Kasha. We're telling Tosfos, you don't understand what Rashi's talking about. Rashi means if Shimon came first. But what about if he came second? If he came second, Shimon loses. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah is teaching us if Edom came even second, if Edom comes second, that destroys his creation. Because he had a creation, because I made it, awesome. Oh, good, but I have a bigger creation. I have the Edom that made it. Then he's not going to lose, it fails. But the diuk that you Tosfos want to make from the Mishnah, if Edom come, doesn't make the Pesha Asa fail. But if Shimon came, it wouldn't make it fail. That's true. Yes, that's true. You know when? Second. If he came second. So basically what we're saying is that once we understand Rashi, that Rashi's agreeing to the Meiri, and he's learning Creator, and therefore he's learning that Edom, even if they come second, can destroy a Pesha Asa. In the case of coming second, the diuk that Tosfos wants to make is aligned with Rashi perfectly. Yes, it's true. If Shimon came, it would not make it fail. What do you mean, Rashi? You said if Shimon comes and makes a claim, it makes it fail also. No. I was only talking about if he comes first. Not if he comes second. By Edom, if he comes second, Itaka makes it fail. Not if Shimon comes second. So this is a pretty strong kasha on Tosfos, and we like to answer this kasha as well. So basically, we decided what Rashi's learning, like the Meiri. Rashi learns Creator. Therefore, the halacha is, it doesn't make a difference if he came first or if he came second. The Edom are always going to make it fail. And now we have three kashas on this approach. First of all, Rashi at the bottom sounds like it's a contradiction. The Gemara in the middle should not have a kasha. What do you mean? What's the difference between Migu? This is creation. That's the manos. That's believability. And the third kasha, which is perhaps even a more serious kasha, is Tosfos does not have a kasha on Rashi. Tosfos, you're rejecting Rashi's approach, and you changed all the books, all the Shulchan Aruch. You open up Yoredeya, you'll see there's a whole section that talks about Choshen Mishpat Yoredeya, all about Pimigus and Pesha Asas, and all this has to change, because Tosfos made a whole change because he didn't like Rashi's track. It doesn't fit into the Mishnah. Tosfos, why doesn't it fit into the Mishnah? It's perfect. If you're talking about coming second, you got no problem. That's our kasha. Good? Reb Nachum, by the way, he says, I can answer Tosfos' kasha. He gives this approach. I don't know if he makes all the steps that we're making. He gives it. Okay, very nice. He answers Tosfos' kasha. He said, what was Tosfos thinking? That's our problem. We looked at it as a kasha. Tosfos, what are you talking about? What you're saying is not a kasha. Good? Okay, Rabusa. 5 more minutes and we're done. You ready? Here we go. Not so bad, right? So far, so good. Not so bad. Not so bad. Okay, good, good. Not so fast. Hang on, Elliot. Okay, here we go. So we want to say the following. We looked into this Rashi, that same Rashi on the bottom, Hocha, the Rima Maskel Hocha. If you look all in the bottom of that Rashi, there's two words, two letters, and the last, the two last letters of the line before Rashi ends, Aleph Nun, right, stands for Inami. Another explanation. Now, Rashi says, Inami, or perhaps, Iarume Kama Armo. Tricking, he is tricking. I think that's what he translated, something like that. The trickster is tricking. The con artist is at work. What does that mean? What's Rashi doing? So read the whole Rashi, you'll see. Rashi's doing is, he's explaining to us why Rabbi Yehoshua says a classic migu, like the case of the woman with her virginity, Rabbi Yehoshua says, I don't believe this lady. Why don't you believe the lady? What's wrong? She looks like such a nice, innocent girl. What's the problem? She's honest. How do you know she's telling me the truth? Well, she said that she was raped. Not such a good thing. She's raped. She'll never be able to marry a Kohen. She could have said that was a mukas eitz. I had an accident. It would explain the same thing, why she lost her virginity, but it would save her from not being able to marry a Kohen. So believe her, she has a migu. And Yeshua says, I don't believe her. Why not? Says Rashi, because perhaps Irum may come Arma. Perhaps she's a con artist. What does it mean she's a con artist? She's a Yiddish cop. She's a Jewish head. She says, hey, I got a problem here. What am I going to do? They caught me. So what do I do? I realize, if I set this up in the right way and don't offer my best claim, I offer my weaker claim, the rabbis will say, hey, she's offering the weaker claim. It must be. She's telling us the truth. Why didn't she give us the better claim? So she's very smart. And Yeshua says, aha, I caught her. She's a sneak. She's a con artist. The other rabbi's a little naive, says Rabbi Chassidon, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, no, the rabbis, you know what happened, they believe her. I picked up on this lady. She's being a con artist. Irume kama arma. She's tricking us. Says Rabbi Yeshua, I don't buy migus. A lady, anybody around, across Shas, somebody walks into court and they claim a migu. Rabbi Yeshua says, please step outside, have a nice day. I don't want to see you. Why not? Because you might be a con artist. That's one of the reasons. Oh, so we had a kasha. If that's the case, really? Yeshua is concerned that people might be con artists. Okay. Let me ask you a question. This guy Reuven, right? We're in Rashi's world. Rashi's world, Rashi holds creator, just like the Meiri. Right? The reason why Pesha also works, the reason why it's a whim, is because he created the Isser and he's mockering the Isser. Very nice. Me some Rabbi Yeshua. You let this guy win, right? What are you talking about? He's the creator. He's the creator. Creator wins. Really? Did you ever think that maybe he's a con artist? Oh. You, Rabbi Yeshua, you're the man who you say, I'm concerned to con artists. Irume kamarma. That's why I throw the lady out. Okay. Got it. You're entitled to your opinion. No problem. What about this guy? What do you mean? He's the creator. Yeah, he's the creator. My eye is the creator. He became the creator because he knows that he's got to protect himself. He's scared someone's coming down the line. He's scared someone's going to come and attack his land. So he says, guess what, guys? I have a great trick. I just went to yeshiva yesterday. I learned the new halacha. Halacha called Besha Asim Besha Yeter. Oh, beautiful. Next morning, he shows up at the court. Guess what? You see that land? It was Shimon's father, and I bought it from him. Oh, what a tzaddik. Beautiful. You're the creator. No problem. You're protected. And then Shimon comes in later. We throw him out of his head. Are you sure? Crazy question? Don't you think he might be a con artist? The lady over there, she's a con artist. The guy's not a con artist. Come on. Let's. You know, who are we talking to? We're friends over here. We understand these things. He's a con artist, so why do you believe him? This is what Rashi is addressing. The beginning of the Rashi, when Rashi says, Hilkach ilav d'dava pashad u'shalacha himenu lohaya omel shalavicha asa, Rashi does not mean because Pesha Asa is Nemanut, and therefore I have to determine if he's telling us the truth. No! Rashi's not changing his mind of what he said up on top. Rashi learns the reason is because creator. Really? So why is Rashi talking about over here about we can tell he's telling us the truth? Because Rashi's dealing with a different problem. The other problem is, even if he's the creator, maybe he's a con artist. Just like I have a problem of a con artist by a regular migu, I could also have a problem of a con artist by a creator, Pesha Asa type of thing. How do you deal with that, Rabbi Yeshua? Oh, to that Rashi explains, Rashi says, no, here it's different. Because here, he's not going to start up when he knows that if he says something, he's going to start bringing people out of the woodwork. You know what? Let sleeping dogs lie. What is it? Let sleeping dogs sleep. What's that saying? Lie. The guy knows what we're saying. Let sleeping dogs lie. A guy who's scared, who's playing tricks, the best trick is, don't say anything. That's the best trick. You start opening up your mouth. Who knows what's going to happen? They'll call him. This guy's going to call him. He has a proof. He has a right. Who knows what's going to happen? So Rashi's addressing, even in the world of creator, we have to understand why does Rabbi Yeshua not suspect that the guy's a con artist? The answer is because he's not going to con in this situation. He's going to hurt himself. That's what Rashi's addressing. Following that same thought line of reasoning, we could also answer the second gash. The second gash we had was, the Gemara asks, My Migu, what's the difference between this Migu and that Migu? So we said, what are you talking about? That's not a question. Here it's Creator, and here it's Nemanos. There's a big difference. Rabbi Yeshua says, I don't believe nobody, and I do have creators. What kind of question is that? No, that's not the problem. The Gemara is asking a different question. The Gemara is asking, in both situations, we're believing, we're taking the word, we're taking the guy's word because of something that he didn't do. In the case of Migu, he didn't say another argument. In the case of Pesha Asa, he didn't stay home. Guess what? In both of those situations, you have a similar problem. Con artist. Rabbi Yeshua should say, come on, what are you talking about? This is crazy. You don't believe this guy. He's a con artist. What do you mean? He's a creator. Ah, come on. He made up this whole creation in order to be able to win in court. That's the only reason why he did it. So how do you deal with that? To that, that's the Gemara's Kasha. In other words, we're still learning creator. And even within the world of creator, we have the same question. What's the difference between this Migu, meaning creator type of thing, and the regular Migu? The Gemara answers, the difference is, did you volunteer? Did you not volunteer? Fine. Let's get to Tosfos. A little slightly more tricky, but I see you guys are mamish into it. And you'll for sure agree with the step also. You always save the harder step for last, right? Oh, I just realized I have to leave. I'm sorry. Okay. When I was in the... Let's put this on pause for a second. So we want to say the following. Tosfos says, of course I agree with you. The shir over here, Yeshiva Terek Avril, of course I agree with you. You're reading Rashi correctly. You read Rashi correctly. Rav Nachum read Rashi correctly. Of course. What does that mean? That means that Rashi's learning creator. And Rashi's learning like the Meiri. And it makes no difference when the Eidim come. First or second, it always makes the Pesha Asa fail. However, says Tosfos, I have a deal from the Mishnah. What's the deal from the Mishnah? Well, it says, if Eidim come, it makes the Pesha Asa fail. If the guy himself would come, then it wouldn't make it fail. You, Rashi, said, if the guy comes, you'll make it fail. Says Rashi. If I was Rashi, I would say, Tosfos, Rabbi Tam, my anicle, this is grandson, right? My cute little anicle. You're making a big mistake. I was talking about when the guy comes first, not second. That's what we said, right? That's because the Mishnah, according to Rashi, could be talking about even Eidim come second. If Eidim come second, Shimon, the son, he can't disrupt anything. Only Eidim could disrupt it. He's not going to disrupt the Creator. Says Tosfos, that's not pshat in Rashi. Rashi doesn't mean that. And we'll see in a minute how we know. But before we know how we know, I'll tell you what he says. Tosfos says, you're right. Rashi's learning Creator. And you're right. Rashi's learning the Eidim come before or after. It makes no difference. But there's one more thing you're not right about. Rashi holds, if Shimon comes second, it also destroys the Pesha Asa, even in the world of Creator. Why? Because Rashi says, Irumi Kama Arma, the guy's a con artist. What do you mean the guy's a con artist? You told me he's a Pesha Asa. He volunteered. The Gemara says, well, Shah Shachar Lefanecha. There's nothing. Nobody came to me. I volunteered. If I volunteered, I should be. Oh, I'm the creator. Yeah, you know why you created it? You created it because you were a con artist. You knew that Shimon might come. And if Shimon might come, you wanted to get to court before Shimon walked into court. So you'll have this benefit of being the creator. Really? Why would you say that? You know why I would say that? Because Shimon came. Look, here he is. He walked into court. If Shimon never comes, he never walked in, he never said any claim, he doesn't know anything about his father's possessions, then we'll say, hey, pretty good. He's the creator. There's no conning over here. Nobody's conning anybody. He's volunteered. He didn't need to do anything. So we'll believe him, says Rabbi Yeshua. Yes, you're not a con artist. Go ahead, it's yours. But if we see Shimon walks in, even if Shimon walks in afterwards, makes no difference. Shimon walking in afterwards just shows us that Reuven was pretty good. Reuven got the best of it before Shimon did. But the reason why Reuven, what was his motivation was because he knew Shimon's coming. If that's the case, says Tosfos, you Rashi, I know, Tosfos says, I know Rashi would say, even if Shimon comes second, it would also make the Pesha Asa fail. If the Eidim comes second, Or if Shimon comes second, anybody who comes makes a claim, it makes the Beis Yosef fail. Why? Because Iru may come Arma, he's a con artist. Now, how do I know that's true? Well, first of all, I know, if I give you shmooze, you know, Tosfos has a kasha. If Tosfos has a kasha, it must be that's what he holds. But there's another thing. We were Medayik, and we spent like a day or two, I think, maybe even more, I'm not sure, on this Rashi. We'll go back to the Rashi, the first Rashi. Shapesha also says Rashi. Ze eino yudeya shahosu shel abu ela al piv shoze. This person doesn't know that this was his father's except by the mouth of Reuven. Who cares? Who cares? Why do I care what's going on in Shimon's head? I could care less. Rashi says, oh, well, we know he only knew about it from what Reuven says. So what? That's not the issue. The issue is he's the creator, not the creator. That's all, period. Says Rashi, that's what Tosfos is looking at Rashi. Rashi is saying, no. Shimon was not aware of this. We have to be convinced that Shimon is not aware of the fact that it ever belonged to his father. You know why? Because if he was aware of it, we find out that he was aware of it. Like, for example, if he walks into court and starts making such a claim, then we say, Reuven, you're a con artist. The reason why you came in is because you're trying to trick us. If that's the case, the Pesha Asa would fail. If the Pesha Asa fails, says Tosfos, the Pesha Asa fails even without Edom coming. Even if Shimon, the son, came and made a claim. If that's the case, Rashi says, Tosfos says to Rashi, you made a mistake. Your position does not fit into the Mishnah. Thank you very much. I think that's pretty good.